Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. And today we have some awesome guests, and I'm hoping, Miss Barbara, that you can hear me. And Pastor Mary, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Okay. I was on with Brian just a moment ago. I had to tell him something. So if you all heard that silence, that was me. So I apologize. But I'm just so excited about today. And you know, we like to tell everybody to please come join us by going to www.cityonahill.tv and listening to us on the Internet Monday through Friday and again Saturday. But it's just really awesome to have like-minded people that have a love for God, and that's really what today's program is all about. But first of all, I'd like to start it with asking our co-host, Ms. Barbara Moore, to come and start us off with a prayer the way the Founding Fathers did, as it is only right and good. So, Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind.
I'd love to. Thank you, Diana. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you are who you are, and you do what you do, and you have done what you have done, O God. We thank you, O God. We thank you, Father, for your heart, your mind. O Lord, your depths, you are so deep, Father, and your depths cannot be plummeted, but you desire to be known by your people more and more. And you reveal yourself to us, Father, as our hearts are tender and yearning for you, O God. You reveal yourself to us more and more as we seek you, as we seek you and search for you with all our hearts. It is your desire, Father, to be known. And I pray, Father, it would be our desire to want to know you deeper, love you deeper, know you better, more and more, Father, There's no one like you, O God. And Father, we stand in awe of you, God. We are overwhelmed with who you are and what you've done. We thank you, Father, that you crowned your creation, Father, making man in your own image and likeness to be like you, to be able to think, to be able to feel, to be able to choose, to be able to enjoy, oh God, what you have placed here on this earth for us, to be able to discover more and more and more. I'm so grateful, Father, that is pleasing to you, that gives pleasure to you, oh God. Just as parents, Father, it gives us pleasure when our children discover and learn and, Father, express their joy and their amazement with what they're discovering. Father, you are our Father, and we love you so much. Now, Father, we thank you for those who've gone before us, who've paid the ultimate sacrifice, who've given their all. We continue, Father, to observe Memorial Day because we cannot get them off our minds and hearts, Father, those who have laid down their lives for love of you, love of country, love of home. And, Father, those that gave up their lives and died in battle, Father, they gave up their hopes and their dreams. They gave up their families. They gave up their futures. They gave up their children and their grandchildren. Everything that's dear to them, save you, O God. And we thank you, and we can never thank you enough for their sacrifice for us. And we would ask, O God, your blessing, your that you would pour out your blessings on their families that they had to leave behind, O God. We thank you now, Father, for those that are your hands and your feet and your mouth and your ears, Father, throughout the devastated areas in our country, Lord, in the tornado areas, in the flooding areas. Father, all those, Lord, that are suffering, we thank you for those like Pastor Mary and her ministry, her team, Father, that bring your life and your hope and your love and your care, your compassion to them, oh God. And I pray, Father, that everyone feels and knows that it is you, Father, working through them for their on their behalf and for them, oh God. We ask your blessing on all those that are sharing and ministering and helping and supporting in any way, O God, and that you would maximize their efforts, Father. And we pray this in the mighty and powerful, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Great way to start this with a prayer. And thank you for praying for our military again. And we've got to keep remembering them, which is one of the things that we like to do on City on the Hill radio show. You know, we try to seek the full counsel of God in everything. He said to acknowledge him in all our ways. So that's exactly what we try to do. We fail sometimes, but that is our intent. And I was just thinking about Joshua Bernard, Ms. Barbara, you know.
Yes.
When we wrote the article about Joshua, Lance Corporal Joshua Bernard, it's the son of John Bernard who comes on the show twice a month and tells us about the war on terror. And John Bernard does this out of love for God and out of love for country. And that other, you know, parents' children wouldn't be lost in the same way that he lost his son, which is unfortunately one of the things that he talks a lot about, the rules of engagement, how their hands are tied. But Joshua was not just a good man. He was, I think, one of the things that George Washington said, you know, it's great to be a patriot,
you know, a soldier, a patriot fighting for your country, but it's better still to be a Christian patriot. Right, Miss Barbara?
That's right. He said those words from his headquarters as general of the Continental Army, as commander-in-chief of the Continental Army, the more distinguished character of Christian. Add that to the distinguished character of patriot.
And I think one of the greatest things we can do for our soldiers is to point them to Christ, because unfortunately, as the Bible has shown us, you know, it's not enough to be a good man, to be a good person. There's more that needs to be there. Goodness will not get us to heaven. The Savior is the only way to heaven. And thinking about the Savior, I just thank God for the people that are there in North Alabama, just helping people that right now, I know they feel like they're, you know, there's no hope, no help. And I was just letting up the blinds before I started the show, Miss Barbara, and what a difference. Letting up the blinders from your eyes. It lets the sunshine in. It lets the truth in. And I just think in a way that's what Pastor Mary and those that are with her in North Alabama trying to, you know, be the hands and feet of God is doing. You know, they're letting the sunshine in the hearts of those people who really are so torn that, you know, it's indescribable. So I just want to welcome them. Hi, Pastor Mary, and hi, Brian. How are you both?
Hello.
Good.
We're wonderful.
Good.
How are you, Diana?
Oh, we're fine. And I think, is there somebody else that I left out besides you, Pastor Mary, and Brian, that I need to say hello to?
I believe Serena is on the line. Serena.
Oh, okay. Hey, Serena.
Hey.
I heard somebody. How are you, Serena?
I'm blessed.
Well, I thank God for y'all. And as I was saying, I just cannot imagine, you know, because the devastation's not just hitting Alabama. It's really almost a national epidemic of tornadoes, if you could call it. And we're not even in the hurricane season yet, Miss Barbara. So
that's right.
I'd like to start off, I guess, with giving Pastor Mary a chance to give us updates on what is going on up there in North Alabama.
Oh, yeah, yes. We are just continuing to, you know, stay in prayer and, you know, stay close and working together. And that's why I'm just excited about Pastor Brian being with us today. We came back in November. The Lord had put it in our heart, my husband and myself, to start a shelter right in their area, right in Field Campbell area. And Pastor Brian is kind of one of the people who's been supporting us and with us, and we fellowship with him at his church. And I tell you, since this tornado hit, we had no idea, Diana, we had no idea that God had a bigger plan for this shelter, you know. Matter of fact, it's the only shelter that I know about in Field Camp. I don't think there is not even another shelter here, but having this shelter in place means a lot right now. It means so much, because it's being able to serve our community in a positive way. You know, right now we do have FEMA workers that stand there at the shelter that's going out into the community to help rebuild, and there are men. Now Brian is going to tell us about the men that came over from, I think they came from Orlando, Florida. Is that correct, Brian? To help put the roof back on our food pantry and thrift store there that Brian started. He started all this. God moved on his heart to start that thrift store. And what I love about Brian's thrift store is that, you know, nothing in there, there's everything in it is free. People, if they need anything, they can come into this thrift store and it's free. They don't have to pay anything for it. And it's the first thrift store I ever seen like that. I've never seen another one like it. So it's amazing that he has this, you know, and it's just people can come in, walk in, if they need anything, if it's there, they don't have to pay anything, because in this area, there's not many jobs. There is, you know, by him having this thrift store in place is just amazing, especially now after the tornado. So we're going to let Brian kind of share and let him talk about some of the things that's in his heart today.
Yeah, my name is Brian Scott. I started a mission up there going on 6 years ago, and it'd be in October. And I just recently gave my life to the Lord, and it was on my heart to just immediately help. And and to share the love of Christ through Phil Campbell. There is no ministries, there is no outreaches, and as far as I know, in the whole county. Of course, since the tornado comes, there's people bringing a lot of storage places and stuff like that, and they're storing up food. But before that, there's nothing. And basically started as a clothing ministry, and it's always been on my heart to get into food ministry. And we have give out a lot of food, but it's mostly the post office does a food drive every year, and they'll collect canned goods. I know everybody that's got mail gets a thing that says you can donate to your local post office, and we always get that from Phil Campbell Post Office, and it just goes so quick. We just never have been able to afford to get into the food ministry. And Sister Mary and them come in probably about 2 months ago. We had just started a food pantry and was giving out, you know, food probably a couple of days a week, and it's our goal, and it was our goal then to get financially stable enough to do it every day, where you could come up there every day and get food, and you know, a lot of people want to say, you know, that the tornado kind of set us back. To me, it's just give opportunity for us to grow. We've got a strong supply of food, I believe, that's going to come in now in order to open up the doors to, you know, have a bigger, stronger food ministry and lean towards that more than even the clothing ministry, not to get rid of it, but to feed and supply that need. And we just had recently, the only damage we really had was our roof was blown. One building, we've actually got two buildings, and I put a church in one, and we have an angel tree there, we'll have about 300 kids on the angel tree every year, and we're small town, so that's a strong need met, we're just trying to supply needs, and they come and put the roof on, which was awesome thing that they did. They come probably a couple months ago and did the week after the tornado hit, so it was about a month and a week ago. And they come immediately down, and they did clean up, and then they seen our mission needed a roof, and they said, we want to do that because there was people in our church that wasn't able to come because of school being in or what have you, and the school got out, so they sent a group down here and fixed the roof. And this Monday we're trying to get where we can open up football, the clothes, the food, to diapers, to napkins, to whatever we've got that's been donated to us. We want to really show love of Christ in this tragedy, and I can see where God's really, really moved on our town. So we're excited, and I know Sister Mary, since I've got up with her, I know she's excited to see what. It's awesome when you know that God's called you to do something, then it's awesome when you see the results of it, and that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing God move. And I really believe that it's going to just get better and better.
Well, it's awesome to know that, you know, y'all listened to God's calling and prepared this place. I mean, who would have known that but God, that it was going to be so vastly needed in that town? And I hear, Brian, I think before the Joplin tornado, did I hear that the tornado that passed through the Phil Campbell area was the second largest tornado?
Yeah, it was. I heard that myself. Now I don't know that for sure, but I did hear that. You know, I lost. I've got a girl in my church that I pastor that lost seven family members, and I lost two members of my church, strong members of my church. It's just devastation completely. The one that hit Hackleburg, the one that hit Phil Campbell, which was the same tornado that hit Smithville, Mississippi. Just demolished Phil Campbell, basically, and really Hackleburg. I mean, and that's the thing that we've seen. Phil Campbell, we had 700 volunteers in one day, and they've got five storage buildings stored full of food and things. There has been a strong outreach. Towns are having to call Phil Campbell to get food. So, I mean, it has been but like I told Sister Mary, you know, that it's going to run out. There's going to be times where it's going to run out. So we need to really store and be good stewards of what God's blessing us with, because it will run out, and people will, you know, tragedies here. We don't need to let people forget that this need is going to have to be met for a long time.
Where are they housing the people that lost their homes right now?
Most people are staying with relatives. They are starting to put FEMA trailers in. We're actually, I'm trying to organize a group of churches from, there's an organization from Maine, organization from Michigan, organization, the Orlando people is coming back again, and we're trying to organize to build a house for somebody. And there is the Mennonites for coming in and free labor if people buy the lumber with the money that they get from FEMA. And I'm just stunned and amazed at how quick the field camp is rebuilding, because I was worried that being the small town that it was and being basically wiped out, I was afraid they would fold up and people would move out. But they're not. They're being strong and coming back, which there is a lot of people that is leaving, but I would say 80% of them is going to find a way to build back, whether it be a FEMA home or what have you. But there is a lot of people that stand with relatives. I've got people in my church. I've got people, friends that are. I've got a strong friend of mine that's housing like 9 of his relatives right now, waiting, you know, for the FEMA home to get ready and stuff. So that's basically what we're doing. Sister Mary, I think, has put up some, and it's just basically what they're doing.
Are some of them living in tents right now? Are quite a few of them setting up tents around their properties?
They are.
And that's when it's very important that y'all are there, because they have no means really of cooking safely, right?
I think Sister Mary has been letting people come over to the mission and take showers.
They've been coming taking showers, and we've been able to take meals out to some of the areas where they're living in tents. We were able to take out, you know, just meals and out to those areas. And right now, Salvation Army has donated some food boxes, and we're getting those ready to take out into rural areas. You know, we've been able to find little 80-year-old ladies who had nobody to feel about them, and God just led us right to them. And so, you know, it's just amazing to see their eyes light up and say, oh, thank you so much. Thank you, you know, for coming to feel about me, you know. And so it's been a blessing. It's been exciting for us to be able to be in place, so when this happened that we can kind of, bring hope to people and bring joy to people. So it's a blessing for us as well, you know. It's just this tornado really has just it reminds me of Romans 8:28. You know, all things work together for our good, you know. And that's kind of the way I feel about this tornado, you know, that I feel like the hand of God is in everything, no matter whether it's good or bad. If it's, you know, we still have hope. God still gives us hope. And we can hold on to his word in the midst of storms and midst of tribulations and trials. God give us hope. And, you know, Diana, I was thinking about Memorial Day, and I thought about my mother. My mother never been in the natural army, but she was in God's army, you know. and one of the things, she was a soldier for the Lord. And what I never will forget, whenever the house that we grew up, a big house, because it was 10 of us, and the house that we grew up in caught fire one day. And we don't know what happened to this day. All we know is the Alabama Power was working on the poles out there today. And that, right after they left, her house was up in front of flames. I don't know what happened, but. So as her house was burning, the house was just burning up. I mean, the whole house was in flames. And there was a lady in the neighborhood ran to my mother, and they asked her a question. Said, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Your house is going up in flames. And I never forget, and I was standing right there beside her, and she looked at this lady, and she said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, and even in the midst of the worst time of our life, we can still give God some praise. We can still honor God and know that the hand of God is still with us no matter what we're going through.
Well, that reminds me, and I'm fixing to let Ms. Barber in conversation ask some questions, but that reminds me of a statement. When we had the 2007 tornado in Enterprise, Alabama, there was a father who was away in Iraq serving his country. When he got the phone call that his son died, you know, he was one of the students that was in the collapsed school. And he said that someone told him later, he didn't remember it, but the words that came out of his mouth after that phone call was that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is just so like God. But Miss Barbara, I know you've got some questions. I hate it that Teresa was wanting to get her input on what people are saying, but we'll get that from y'all. Go ahead, Miss Barbara.
Well, I was just thinking how very, very short our time is on the earth and how long eternity is. And, you know, the Lord numbers our days. He knows the whole of them. And we don't know that. Mercifully, we don't know the number of days that we have here on this earth. But I'm just blessed, so blessed to hear the joy in your voices about serving the Lord. With gladness and seeing him in all places at all times. And it's just so very inspiring. It sounds like that those who are left are very grateful and that their hearts are tender toward the Lord. Is that what you found?
Oh yes, and I know Brian as well. You know, it's just so amazing that the attitude of the people. They're so grateful. They're just so grateful that somebody cared and somebody cared enough to send food in, to send help in. You know, people are coming in from all different states. You know, and I'm pretty sure Brian that you've seen a lot of it as well. Just the attitude of the people here is just so, they're just so grateful. Even today, you know, it's amazing. The school called us, and some of the people that came in with us over here to pick up things from the school, you should have seen them. They were like, wow, you know, look at these clothes on me. Because, you know, they was like, you know, this, you guys take all these clothes. And some of the helpers, they was like finding clothes that they could wear, and they were just so excited about it, you know. And they were just giving God praise for it, you know. And it's just amazing, you know, to see the joy on their faces and to see the gratitude that they have of the people being so kind to send in things like that. I mean, the clothes have came in from everywhere, and it's been amazing. And I'm sure Brian can vouch for that as well.
One of my greatest stories is I know a man that's hard-hearted as they can get, and they lost everything. Him and his whole family did, and I witnessed to him several times, and I just couldn't get to him. Well, during the storm, there was these people from Orlando come in and cleaned up their lots, and they was really appreciative. They lost everything, no insurance. I found that out afterwards. There's probably 70 or 80% of Philcombe. Philcombe is a poor little town. There is no industry. There is no work. Everybody that lives there, basically, that's where their roots has been all their lives, so they stay there. And a lot of them didn't have insurance, especially like a certain place in the town and in downtown. Couldn't ever get this person to come to church, and they come to where our pastor, Sister Mary, comes there a lot, and he come and he said, I felt like I owed it to you to come one time to church, and because them guys from Orlando, you got them down here and cleaned them up, and basically told me he didn't owe nothing to me, he owed it to God. It was God that leadeth our footsteps. So anyway, he said, I probably would never get him there again, but he owed it to me to come one time. Well, come time for the altar call, and I always say, this is my last verse. Well, he kind of eased out the back door, and that was an excuse of this, that, or the other, and I won't get into that. But I went outside after the service, and he had been out there weeping. And I thought the Lord had been dealing with him, and the Lord, you know, was drawing him. And it went from, this is probably the only time I'll be here, to the next Sunday he showed up, and this Sunday he was in church. It wasn't in our church, but he was in church, and it's not only meeting the need. You know, your Bible will tell you over and over, well, Christ always met a need first, and then, you know, he would draw them in, and I think that's exactly what God is. I don't believe by no means the Lord put this storm in our lives. I believe it's sort of like the story of Job. I believe it. He allowed it to happen because, you know, we get so turned away from God that we you know, lose our focus. And I believe this has got our focus back on God and us being able to minister the love of Christ through this tragedy. And God can take anything and be glorified in it. And when we mess up, you know, He can be glorified in the end result and show where He can work through our mess up. So I really that's what I'm encouraged by is the love of Christ through the Christians and seeing people that you never could have reached turn into God. And that's just one story. I could tell you 20 of them. People that I never would have thought that would, you know, each and every church, and I'm hoping it ain't just a spur of the moment thing, but each and every one of the churches in the community have had a big growth in numbers since the storm, I've seen it in my church, and that's where I believe that God's coming in, where Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus Christ says, "I come to give life and life abundantly." So that's what's happening. Where Satan meant destruction, Christ has come in and given life. So that's what I'm excited about.
Amen. Brian, that is so beautiful, so very beautiful. And it reminds me of Genesis chapter 50 when Joseph says to his brothers who betrayed him, "What you meant for evil, the Lord turned it and used it for good, for the salvation of many." And
that's right.
It sounds like that's exactly what's happening there in that area. And I also want to say, Brian, that you're so very wise, like Joseph, to know that there are yet hard times ahead and to be very wisely using with caution and setting aside things for future needs for the people, just as Joseph did.
Definitely. I was sharing that story the other morning when we do devotions at the mission, and I was sharing the story about Joseph and how he stored up when the famine came. He was prepared for it, you know, and that's what I loved about Brian and his mission work is and connecting with him when we came here, because I love working with people who have an outreach where they're really concerned about the people in the community, and Brian, you know, feeding, and he has so much going, and so, you know, he come to us, he said, "Look, y'all just take that feeding over," and boy, that was just so exciting to be able to join in with him and help him get the food and be able to share it with the community. And so now it's like God has given us an abundance of food, I tell you. Man, it's just a lot of food, and to be able to have it, you know, and to use it with wisdom is really important right now. It's very important. And so we just can't wait to get this food pantry back up and running, you know, get everything going. And so my husband and myself, we joined in with Brian and doing all we can do here to get that pantry back open for this community.
Wow. Well, you know, listening to you, I was just thinking April 27th, I think, was that the day that it hit there in Phil Campbell, or was the day after?
Yes.
That was the day that Hamas and Fatah signed an agreement to unite against Israel. And I do believe there is, you know, there's repercussions when things like that happen against the apple of God's eye. There's things that happens elsewhere. But how awesome of God to, you know, use this opportunity also, as y'all are saying, you know, for many people to come to Christ, because that is the most important thing. You know, we don't know when we'll die. We don't know who will die at what time. But, you know, He's giving us, I think, you know, chances to turn our lives around. And the Phil Campbell area and the story that you're sharing, Brian, Pastor Mary, I think is going to resonate all over the country. They have to be looking. You know, I've always heard the sign is Israel. And we're seeing a lot of things happening. Armies are starting to converge around Israel. They're making plans to go to war against Israel. So in the meantime, really our work is cut out for us, because we may not have long, but right now the harvest has been ripened, you know, with people that have been hurt like that, and they're looking for answers. And then
a ministry that God had planted almost a year ago is right there ready, for the harvest is indeed very ripe in that area. And I'm believing in other parts of the country too. But I just thank God for the church, Brian, that, you know, that didn't have to. I mean, Orlando and Phil Campbell, wow, we're talking about a long drive. Those people
yeah.
didn't have to go all the way to Phil Campbell, you know. But for some reason, God was speaking to their hearts. They heard a call from God, you know, to go, you know, to the outer reaches in a small town that can't give them back money. You know, a lot of people do things, you know, to get something back. But these people just did it because of a love for God. And how awesome is that? We need more churches like that. That is really incredible. What was the name of the church, Brian? Can you tell us more about them?
West Orlando Baptist. These guys got here this time. We'll just use this time. First time they cleaned up. But these guys got here Sunday night. Man, they spent Memorial weekend traveling to come down here. And they left after Sunday's school, Sunday morning. They come down here. They got here, I think I would let them in the door at 12 or 1 o'clock Sunday night. They got up 6:30 Sunday morning, or Monday morning. They worked Memorial Day from 6:30 to about 5:30, 6 o'clock last night. And we don't have this time of year real, real hot weather, but it was 94 here on top of a roof. I mean, no break. This because they had to get it done in 2 days, and it was a lot bigger job than we thought when we got up there on the roof. And this morning they got there at 6:30 and straight through to a while ago. I went over and before I got on the phone with y'all, they worked. It was a mission trip for them, and no complaining, no nothing. They come and they got it done. They did it. Bible says whatever we do is we're doing it unto the Lord, and that's exactly the way they looked at it, and they did it. So and I'm tickled to death that there is people like that. And like I said, we're building a house for a lady we've got an organization from Maine. We got an organization from Michigan, and then the church from Florida, West Orlando Baptist three organizations coming to Alabama. It's amazing. It's just,
yes.
I preach all the time that you just don't do that without the Holy Spirit of God in your life and leading you to do this. Well, you don't do it to make you feel good. The guy was up there that was doing the roof, and he said, "Man," I said, "Man, are you wore out?" He said, "Yeah, I am." But he said, "I've enjoyed this. This is what I do for a living. I roof for a living." He said, "I dread getting up and going to work every morning, but when I'm doing it for the Lord," he says, I just really, truly enjoy it." And and that's just a testimony about, you know, the joy of Christ. You know, Christ said, "I wish that my joy was fulfilled in you." I'm amazed what God's doing.
Well, you know, I just think about the story of the man that asked Jesus what else he could do. And Jesus said, you know, just to lay down everything, really, and follow me. And, you know, he turned away and left because he had a lot that he would lose. And he was a good man. But, you know, being a good man is not enough. And
that's
it's
right.
Just really incredible to see a church like this. You know, I think a lot of the churches have wonderful, wonderful people in them, you know. But when it comes to answering the call from Christ, you know, why don't you, you know, stop for a moment and quit investing in the building and invest in lives? You know, I think sometimes too much money is being spent on buildings versus lives. And what an opportunity for our churches at this time to take a stock at what they've been doing time and time again, because so many lives are rotting. You know, we hear that with the children in schools. There's so much crime even in schools now. It's like hate upon hate. And the only difference is really going to be the Holy Spirit that is in people in the churches. They have the ability to make a difference, to share the world, the goodness that is in them, Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what this church did, it sounds like to me.
Miss Barbara?
Yes. It's all so beautiful what God is doing. And I was wondering, one of the questions that I have is and you ask about the tents, Diana, and to give us kind of a picture of that, of how many are still in tents and the needs there that you see now.
I see a lot of campers, and there is tents. Now, don't get me wrong. There is people staying in tents. FEMA has actually come in, and that has supplied a lot of people's needs that was. But then again, there's a lot of people that's basically homeless. That's I've got a guy that's living in a small double or small trailer over here. That I think there's from 9 to 12 staying with him. I mean, there's just people that's there is great needs for people to stay and things of that nature. The tents are starting to come up. There is starting to get we've had people to donate campers, and we've had people to donate like Sister Mary. You can come stay at the mission. There is people housing people. A lot of people, like I said, that didn't have insurance. A lot of people that was renting. If you was renting, you don't get nothing basically. You just go find you another place to rent if you can find one. And the one that that we're going to build a house for, she was renting, and I preached her husband's funeral 2 weeks prior to the tornado. He was 37 years old, and died in his sleep, sleep apnea. She had $200 to her name. The tornado hit, and I went over there, and she was just sitting there trying to find his death certificate. Had $200 to her name, and the tornado cut her purse. So, I mean, there's people that's, there's definitely needs as far as housing to be met. And like I said, there's organizations coming in and doing that. It's just going to take time. I know that. And I had somebody yesterday tell me that, the only help we've got is from the church. So, I know FEMA's overrun right now, and I know Red Cross is overrun right now, and the church has got to step up, basically. So that's what I see.
Well, Brian, you just made me realize, just like that lady, there's people like her that's going to need somewhere to even make simple phone calls. To find out what can and can't be done, to get their paperwork back, social security numbers and all that back. Do they have a place that they can go to over there and take care of some of these activities that they have to accomplish by calling, businesses or organizations that, they need to deal with?
Yeah, they have. City Hall has been opening their doors for a lot of needs as far as, like copying papers and faxes and things of that nature. Basically, everybody around here has got cell phones. So, as far as making a phone call, I believe about everybody could do that. That's one thing I can say about our city, hall, our police chief, and our police chief
great,
is actually
baby.
A pastor.
How about clothing and the washing? How about the washing clothes and things like that for so many that does not have washers and dryers? How is that? How are they getting help with that?
We actually have a laundromat in Field Camel, and it does stay packed. I noticed that the other day it stays packed.
Yeah, it does.
That need there and. One thing I can say about our community, I've lived here all my life. I went to school at Phil Campbell. I do their baccalaureate. I'm the minister for the school. I chaplain there. I do a lot of the school things as far as if they need a minister. But one thing I can say about our community is it is a real tight-knit community. Everybody knows everybody, and there's probably not a person in our community that wouldn't help another person. You're talking about, like, as far as washing clothes, and there is a lot of good-hearted people that would would open their doors to, you know, to do that, Sister, things like Sister Mary. I mean, you know, and my father's actually opened up his door for these people from Orlando to stay. You know, we've had people stay at my house during this.
Yeah.
So there has been people.
So there's a lot of practical help.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, Diana, how the people really come together here. I mean, you know, everybody's making sure nobody go without. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, you have, you know, you're gonna have to come up here with me, make a trip up here just to see, you know, the outpour of the love here and the people here. And you know, we do have some areas that, you know, that people, you know, out in rural areas that we do go, and even we got teams and church groups that are going out in those areas to make sure that everybody is not left out. So it's just a
I want to say this. Ever since day one, April 27th, or, you know, maybe the first day or two until people could get their stuff set up there, there's not been a day up there that there ain't a place that you can go get a meal. Tents set up there. You know, they feed lunch, they feed supper, and it'll say up there dinner from 11 to 1 for workers and people of the community. So, I mean, there's nobody went without a full belly that lives in the area, and you know, they can walk to the local church, and there's been people for coming in from different states and setting up their cookers, and while you're working up there and you're cleaning up, there's people going around and little Gators and John Deere little get around four wheelers. You don't go without drinks. They'll bring you drinks, and they'll bring you hot plates. You'll be working. You just stop working and eat. I mean, it is amazing. It is amazing. So, I mean, right now you can pull into Field Camel, and they will not ask you no questions. You go in there, and they got a tent set up, and yesterday we went up there, and I brought all the workers, and we eat hamburgers. They come around with ice cream. They come around with watermelon. They come around with chips. They come around with I mean, this unbelievable amount of stuff that they don't ask no questions. It ain't like, well, are you part of this community? You show your ID or anything like that. It's just whoever wants to come in there and eat, come in there and eat. And so, you know,
what a difference.
That's a good thing.
And I'm just thinking of Katrina, Miss Barbara, and what a difference this version is of helping one another, you know. And and we're just really so impressed. But that's the hand of God. And like I was thinking, He'd prepared y'all. You know, Brian, you sound like you're just really what y'all are doing is a major. It sets the stage for the tone, I think, that God had placed you there, and it's just very encouraging. But I also think of I'm sure there's going to be a lot of emotional needs. I heard about a story of a little five-year-old that, you know, lost his mother and father. You know, he was in the bathtub, and him and his sister got hurt, but, you know, they're alive. And, you know, he'll play a little bit, and then, you know, he'll cry for 15 minutes. And, you know, I just can't imagine. That's going to take a long time to get over a lot of the trauma, and I'm sure y'all are seeing that. Can you tell some of those kind of stories about the children that's been impacted or the adults and how they're handling things?
I've got a lady girl in my church. She's 21. She just recently got married. She lost 7 family members. She lost her mother. It was her stepfather, but it was basically her father. She lost, he raised her. She lost her aunt and her great-aunt on one side of her mother's side, and her dad, she lost her grandma and her uncle and her two aunts on that side. And she's a strong faith, strong woman of God, but it's just, you know, how, you know, we can't imagine. Can't imagine losing her mother and dad and her grandmother and her aunts, you know, and her uncles, you know. I mean, how much grief can a person have? And there is, you know, you do hear stories of the children. You know, we lost 2 fourth graders in Phil Campbell in the same class. So, I mean, it's, you know, you hear stories of this, and of course, you hear stories of survival, and you hear stories of people that is going to have to move on without, you know, their parents or and move in with grandparents. And it's just, then again, it goes back to, you know, the churches being there for these children and being there for, you know, I believe the church should have been, and this is exactly what happened. I mean, you was talking about Katrina, and it wasn't that way, maybe. You know, we, the church, that people ought not have to depend on. I'm not saying FEMA's not a good thing. I'm not saying Red Cross is not a good thing, but the church ought to be the first one to step in and help. That's my opinion. And that's exactly what's happened here. The church is meeting needs and still meeting needs and still getting phone calls and still getting people that want to come in and do stuff. That would be the stories that I'd like to share. Sister Mary may have one that she knows, but that
you're right, Brian. I was just thinking about one incident, the lady that said that she went to FEMA, and of course FEMA has done great things, but she applied for help, and they told her that because she had bad credit, that, you know, they turned her down, you know, and so that's, you know, that is just a sad thing, and you know, so when the church is in place, where right now, I mean, we're collecting furniture, and we're collecting food, and we're collecting things where, you know, when they come to us, we'll be able to say, yes, we can help, you know, and so that's what's amazing about the church being here and being in place, so where people who cannot get help from other resources, they can come to us and get help.
Wow. And what a opportunity. Diana. Go ahead, Ms. Barber.
There's an old song that came to mind when Brian and Pastor Mary were talking, and it's, "Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice, for we settle the question. We've made our choice. Let the anthems ring out. Let them rise and swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well."
Amen. Oh, wow. I would love to see what that church in Orlando did, duplicated over and over, where another church just comes on and, you know, helps build more, you know, helps repair more. Because as you're saying, Brian and Miss, you know, Pastor Mary, most of these people do not have insurance. A lot of them does not have the money to rebuild. But if the church can come along with their labor and whatever they can and help build their lives over again, what a testimony to the whole world if that is the new thing that comes out of Phil Campbell, Alabama, as you were saying, Pastor Brian, the church rising.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing. The family that we're helping, like I said, a lot of them not in church. And you know, some people say, well, you want to help somebody, you know, help them. You know, you need to, that ain't the way that it works. We need to show the love of Christ, and maybe they'll see the church, you know, and understand
that
it's the church. Okay. And the awesome thing about it is they don't even understand why the church is doing this, because the Bible says it's blinded the eyes of those that's lost. They don't understand the love of Christ. They don't understand the love of God. So we've got to show them the love of God, and we got to show them the love of Christ in our lives, and show that, hey, this is the Lord that's doing this. This ain't us. I ain't coming up there for them to say, hey, O'Brien did a good job. I want to see them talk about what the Lord's doing and understand that this is the Lord, and that's the fruit that we're going to get out of it, and see people, you know, come to know Christ through this, and they're not understanding how I got an estimate on this house that we're going to build it, and to build it, you know, it cost $40,000 to $50,000. Well, these organizations that we're going to third it out, and they're going to bring the supplies in, and of course a lot of it's been donated to them. You know, we've got shingles donated, we've had air conditioning donated, we've had a lot of things donated that these churches ain't even going to have to buy, but we're going to kind of third it out, and they're going to bring the supplies with them, and you know, it's just, these people don't understand why somebody that don't even know somebody would come and do that. Well, you know, that's the good thing about it is they're saying that it ain't really the people, it's Christ working through the people.
That's
so,
right.
And, yeah. And it's
isn't
just
that
great.
Just
I
like
mean,
Jesus? I think that's just like Jesus, Pastor Brian. You know, he left the 99 for that one lost sheep. And I think of that church in Orlando that left their congregation to find those in Phil Campbell, because the story of what they did in Phil Campbell is going to be told to others. And, you know,
yes.
That's exactly what Christ did for us. We were lost, yet, you know, he loved us enough to die on the cross while we were still sinners. So I thank God for people like those that came from Orlando that did not know the people in Phil Campbell that they were serving, but because of their love for Christ and trying to mimic Christ, they ventured out. And I'm thankful to God that he prepared your heart. You have that building and, you know, invited Pastor Mary long before this event happened. And, wow, it's almost time to close. So I want to get your thoughts, Pastor Mary, one more time and give everybody, I guess, one more time to just, you know, extend what you want the listeners to get out of what happened in Phil Campbell, Alabama.
There's a scripture that says in Isaiah 58, 11 and 12, it says, "The Lord shall guide thee."
Pastor Mary, I think we're losing you. I'm hoping it's not me. We'll come back to you. You might need to move or something. Pastor Brian, would you like to say something?
What I would like to say is that the Lord just put this on my heart. You know, some people want to help, and they don't know how to help, you know. And if there is somebody that hears or wants to help or wants to come in, just throw their hands to the fire, just like the church in Orlando did. We ain't asking for no money. We just want laborers. You know, the Bible says the harvest is plenty, laborers are few. And we need laborers. We need people to come in. And you can't outgive God with your time, your money, nothing you can do for God that he ain't going to honor and he ain't going to give you back double fold. I believe that 100%. So, you know, if maybe somebody did hear this and the Lord speaking to their heart and saying, you know, maybe you need to go to Phil Campbell or maybe Hackleberg or whatever. We might build 10 houses. You never know. You know, somebody might call and say, I want to donate you to lumber. I want to do this, whatever. You know, my encouragement would be to put your hands to the fire yourself and jump out and help and do whatever God's laid on your heart to do. And don't say I can't, because I don't find in my Bible where I can't. I always find out that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, and everything that I read is positive. So just any help that we could get, we would love to have it.
Wow. Well, Ms. Barbara, would you like to give some closing thoughts?
Well, let me just complete what Pastor Mary began in Isaiah 58. The Lord says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then you shall call upon the Lord, and he shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am.
Wow.
And that's what our dear friends are doing there in ministering to those that are suffering so terribly. And I'm so grateful. I am so grateful for what you're doing, that you're allowing the Lord to work and minister through you to those in need. God bless you.
Wow. Well, in closing, I'd like to ask Pastor Brian, because we lost Pastor Mary, and, you know, Memorial Day was just yesterday, and it's so fitting to always remember our soldiers. But, you know, I think what those people in Orlando did, and you, Pastor Brian, Pastor Mary, you do these things in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank God because so many more people are made better for it. Their lives are forever changed, just like that old man. Thank God. If you don't mind, Pastor Brian, would you please say a prayer in closing?
Yes, I'd love to. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We are who we are because of who you are, Lord, in our lives, Lord. And we ask for strength in our time of need, Lord. We ask for a comforter, Lord. We know that you wouldn't leave us comfortless, Lord. So we pray for comfort on our town. We pray that these hands that come and did this work for you, that you would bless them, Lord. We pray for the ones in need, Lord. You said you supply all our needs with your riches and glory, Lord. But I pray salvation on the lost, Lord. I pray we know that's the greatest need that we have, Lord, is you in our lives, Lord. You said if we would seek out the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Lord, that everything would come under that, Lord. So I pray that each and every one of us, the Christians even, Lord, I pray that each and every boy, ear that hears this voice, Lord, I pray that we would seek you out in our lives. You said we'd seek, we would find, Lord, and I thank you so much, Lord, that if we knock, the door would be open, Lord. So I pray on this ministry, this ministry that we're on here today, Lord, I pray that you would bless it, Lord. I pray that most of all, Lord, that we would, as Christians, would put you first in our lives, Lord, and we would seek out your face, Lord. And we love you and we thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Brian and Pastor Mary and all those people that helped you. And thank you, Miss Barbara. And we're just really grateful for what you've shared today. It's been a blessing, I know, for me, Miss Barbara, and I'm praying for those that will listen. This is going to be available on podcast. It is recorded and is available immediately for you to share it with your friends and family throughout. That we hope what they are doing in Phil Campbell will be duplicated in other parts of the country where, unfortunately, you know, tornadoes have hit so many people's lives and forever changed them. So thank you, listeners. Please tune in tomorrow, cityonahill.tv on the Internet. And we will have some awesome guests. We will have Miss Annette Griswold talking about Bible prophecies. And Thursday we'll have Martha Robey talk about what's going on in our Congress. And Friday we will have our Jewish friend Luden tell us what's going on in Israel as he processes of the situation surrounding the city of Jerusalem. Thank you. May God bless you, and may he shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill Radio Show. Goodbye.